Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to continue on with Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, and 26 today. We're going to give you the answer today is why these mighty promises do not work for so many people. They work for some and not for others. Well, today we're going to talk about these wonderful things. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the Word of God goes out today, we ask you to bless it in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we rebuke the enemy. We command Satan not to steal a word out of anybody's mind or heart as we talk about the mighty promises of God's Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This mighty promise, have you ever wondered why scriptures like Mark 11, 23, and 24, why people in the church never stand on these promises? I remember used to, in the average church that I used to be in when I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, I'd go to church and we would sing promises or songs like Standing on the Promises. Oh, what do you mean, Standing on the Promises? I sing that song, but I didn't know what Standing on the Promises of God meant. It's amazing how you don't know these things. Well, I was there. I was at church. We sing them. But I didn't know how to stand on the promises of God. I really didn't know what the promises of God were. I had no idea that there was promises like this in this magnificent book. But this Mark 11, 23 clearly says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Then verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now that's a pretty awesome statement coming from our King, the King of the universe. But it's in the Bible. And so he made us these awesome statements. Now, if we believed these things, you would never find a Christian that would ever go to a hospital or a doctor for anything. They would ask, believing with no doubt in their heart, and the King of the universe has bound himself by this book, by the Word of God. He says the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, in Psalm 119:89. "And forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. And you have exalted your Word even above all your names." And then, of course, John 10:34 says, "The Word of God, the Scripture, cannot be broken." So, if the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, it's exalted above all of His names, and it cannot be broken, then why don't more people take these promises and stand on them when they have a need instead of going to a doctor? Well, all I can say is it's unbelief. And because of unbelief, you cannot get these mighty things done because of unbelief. He says that you must have no doubt in your heart. So if you have no doubt in your heart that God's Word's going to work, since He's a faith God, if you don't call Him in remembrance of His promises and believe it with no doubt in your heart, you will not be able to defeat the enemy. Now you go back and think, even in the Old Testament, where a little tiny young teenage boy, David, when he came over there and all the Israelite soldiers were being challenged by Goliath and his brothers, they were having a heyday with these boys since these giants were 10 foot tall and these other Israelis were much smaller people. When they would see this giant, they would stand in fear. They didn't see their God. They didn't see how big he was. He was so much bigger than them, it wasn't even funny. But that's the way the devil intimidates us. He gets us to looking at the circumstances around us, our sickness, our disease, or whatever it is, when really it's not yours at all. We call our cancer, or my cancer, or my arthritis. No, it's not mine. It belongs to the devil. So tell him where it come from. And it's sin that put it on you in the first place. Word of God is clear and says, if you do not sin, and 1 John 5:18, he says, my children do not sin. Now then, first time I read that and really read that close, I thought, my goodness, Lord, I must not be your son. You said, your sons do not sin. Well, Lord, I see myself as an unworthy sinner. Well, as long as I saw myself as an unworthy sinner and not like the Word of God saw me, I never got to see the Lord do anything wonderful. But when I realized I was the righteousness of God in Christ, He had justified me. He had made me just as if I'd never sinned by the blood of Jesus. And when I came to Him on behalf of that cleanliness with my robe washed in the blood, then I could take these kind of promises, I could begin to quote them to Him, and then ask Him to do great and mighty things, and I saw Jesus do great and mighty things. I mean great and mighty things. I've seen Him set people free many times. I've seen Him heal people many times, meet their finances many times. I've seen Him take off supernaturally weight. In fact, we had a man come to a healing school here a while back that was grossly overweight. He wanted to present his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, so he could be used by God in His service. And we prayed the prayer of faith for that man, and in 4 months, that man lost over 100 pounds. Now, just the other day, we had a young lady in our church that had picked up, she had gotten sick some way, I forget what it was, and she heard about our ministry. She started coming to our church, and she was sick and afflicted. She was taking some medication, and the medicine had caused something in her body not to work right. And over the past year, year and a half, whatever it was, she had gained 160 pounds over her normal size. Well, she didn't like that, but she said as long as she's on the medication, it kept the pounds on her. She didn't hardly eat anything, but it messed up her system. So I got her to repent for taking the medicine and not trusting God. After she repented, we laid hands on her and cast the evil spirit out of her, and she got healed, and she stopped taking the medicine. And that all happened on September the 27th, and by about the 9th or 10th of October, which less than a month and a half later, she had already lost 54 pounds of weight. Now, she was a happy camper at church the other night at Bible study, whenever she got up and told all the people that since September the 27th till I believe it was October the 8th or 9th, she had already lost 54 pounds of weight, and she was going to go for the goal to lose the whole 160 back to her normal size. But she had been miraculously healed too. But this woman believed these promises. Now then, if you believe these promises of Mark 11, 23, and 24, and they don't work for you, then it's not only maybe just unbelief or doubt, but you may have some unforgiveness. Because in verse 25, he says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now stop and think about the seriousness of this statement that just made here. Now I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I'm going to read this scripture just like it's written. And then I would not take a gamble on this of no way. Now I don't gamble at all, but there is a lot of people in the church that's gambling and don't even know they're gambling. Because what they're doing, many people in the church is holding a grudge against someone. Now, if I read this right, if you have a grudge or an unforgiveness toward anyone, I want you to see what the Lord says here. He says, after making this awesome statement of Mark 11, 23, which gives you a blank check, and when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, if you have anything against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And then he makes this devastating statement in verse 26. But if you do not forgive, now there is a condition, if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now stop and think about that. If the Lord does not forgive you, you're in trouble. What if you die in that sin of unforgiveness? What's going to happen when you stand before the gates of heaven trying to get in, saying, I'm washed in the blood? The Lord may very well tell you, I never knew you, into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did you not read in my word where I said, if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart, neither will I forgive you your trespasses? Well, stop and think about that. I don't know what anybody could do to you, but there's nothing anybody could do to me that would be worth me spending 5 seconds in hell for, much less eternity in hell. So he clearly tells me here in Mark 11:25-26, after he makes these awesome statements that gives me a blank check in Mark 11:23-24, that to make those work for me, I must not only have faith and not doubt, but I must get rid of all sin. I must forgive and get rid of it. I must cast it down and make sure that I am walking totally, completely, completely holy before God. Now then, no sin, no unforgiveness. You know, I mean, if you really want to see the Lord do something, because if you die in your sin of unforgiveness, let's just give it this scenario. What if you were to approach the portals of heaven and you died and you stand before the entryway into heaven and you say, Lord, here I am. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And Jesus comes over there and he said, yes, you were washed in my blood, but I told you that if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, neither will I forgive you. Now then, because you did not forgive them, neither can I forgive you. And since I haven't forgiven you for your sins, then you cannot come into my heaven because you still have those sins. If they're not forgiven and washed away, you still got them. And no sinner can come into my kingdom. No sinner can come into my heaven. So into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, to hell with you. You will have to go to hell and spend eternity in a godless hell with Satan and his demons. Now, I don't know about you, but there's not anything anybody on this earth could do to me that would be worth me spending 5 seconds in hell for, much less eternity. So I have come to realize, too, over the years that the sin of unforgiveness makes more people sick and puts him on their deathbeds, and I've seen many people on their deathbeds that were there because of unforgiveness, and when they repented, I've seen some of them instantly healed. Wow. What an awesome thing to see God do those wonderful things. We invite you to give us a call for free audio and video teachings. I mean, CDs, DVDs, and everything. If you'll give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can contact us on the web. We've got a form on there you can fill out and check several different types of teachings, audio, video. Many of our video teachings are up to 3, 4, and 5 hours long. But we send it all out free and postpaid for you to enjoy. If you'd like it, go to the web at www.tlsm.org and send us a form and we'll be happy to send it to you. Have a blessed day in Jesus.